Good morning. It's wonderful to be together. Sunshine. Oh boy. Yesterday I found out that, you know, running around and shooting other people is kind of fun. It's also a lot of work. We were sweating afterwards, right? Getting, I was sweating. I don't know about you. I was kind of going, wow. Something like that, man. It was good. I started off, you know what, I got first place at the beginning, but then I started going down because we played four rounds. I kept on going down and down and down and stuff like that. So, yeah, I need practice. So it was wonderful to be out with the young people and have a good time together. So today we're talking about kind of an awakening, and there's probably other words I can probably use too for this, but you know, I don't know about you, but I've been many places, and I know here we have fog, and, you know, driving in fog is kind of, you know, scary because you can't really see what's in front of you, you know, and you know, when I was in high school, you know, there's math was my fog, okay, algebra, geometry, these things, word problems, I tell you, brain fog, that's what I call it, brain fog, because I'd sit there, I'd be looking, I'd listen, teacher's doing it. Probably doing a pretty good job teaching and stuff like that. But it's kind of like it was just like little laser things, just bing, bing, just bouncing off the, just never absorbed it inside the skull. You know, so I just sit there and look at the paper and just kind of go, oh, I'll just guess, I guessed. You know, I guessed a lot and I just tried my best, but just couldn't seem to get past that. In fact, I failed the classes and then I had to do the summer school and then they were actually very merciful, and they said, oh, go ahead, you pass on to the next grade. So the brain fog was there for a while, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but we all get that, and we'll, you know, thankfully, I wasn't the only one to experience this brain fog, and that's what we'll be talking about today with the disciples, and, you know, the day of the resurrection. A lot of times we're, you know, talking about before leading up to the resurrection and the resurrection itself. But what about right after that resurrection? What was going on? You know, so we'll be taking a look at that today. Let's pray before we go on. Father God, again, we come before you. We join our hearts together in praises of you and prayer and thanksgiving and giving, Lord, and just a fellowship because of who you are and all you've done for us. You're the one who has been risen. You're risen and you're alive today, and you have made us alive, Lord. You're the one that breathes that breath of life into us. And so we just thank you for that. I pray that you just open our hearts and minds to what you have to teach us today, and that you will receive all that glory and praise in all of this. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. So, brain fog, yeah, interesting. Easter, talking about, you know, that day when Jesus rose, and, you know, there's a lot of confusion. You know, the women ran out to the tomb, and they were looking to, you know, do the special embalming of his body and taking care of his body, and, you know, they got to the tomb, and two angels show up and say, hey, what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing looking for the living among the dead? He is risen. And so they go, whoa, and he says, you know, go tell the others. And so they ran back, you know, to the disciples, you know, and other disciples, and they're all in lockdown. And we know what lockdown is, right? They were locked down in fear and depression. You know, their plans were just blown apart. You know, things were looking good, and oh, and they just didn't know what to do. And then when the women came in there and they told them, hey, there's an empty tomb. Jesus is gone. The angels did this, and he's risen. And they're going, huh? You know, this is nonsense. To them, it was just lots of words, and the words are just nonsense. And then Peter finally got up and ran to the tomb and to check things out. So there's a lot of stuff going on in this. And people, you know, I ask them a question and say, well, what's causing this confusion? Because we know Jesus taught them about this. If you go back into the Gospel of Mark, there's three times that he taught about where he was going to face persecution and be led to death and to die on the cross and to be risen 3 days after. If you go to Mark 8, that's, you know, he said that there in verse 31. He was talking to him. He says, you know, I'll be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter, you know what he did? Peter rebuked him. He said, "Hey, Jesus, this isn't the game plan. This is certainly not my game plan. I like what's going on here." Well, brain fog, because he wasn't connecting, because Jesus rebuked him right back. He said, "Hey, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of God in your heart." See, there's that brain fog. You know, we get, you know, brain fog starts with things such as we have our own agendas. We have our own comforts. We have our own plans. We want it this way. We don't want it to change anymore. We like it the way it is. I like my position. That's what the Pharisees and all the teachers of the law were dealing with too. They didn't like what was going on. You know, some of it could be just doubt and unbelief causing that brain fog where they weren't connecting with what Jesus had for them and what he was bringing in, his kingdom. But it wasn't the kingdom that they were really expecting. They were expecting a physical kingdom, not a spiritual kingdom at that time. And if you go on to chapter 9, the same thing in the 30s there, Jesus was teaching about, you know, hey, I'm going to die. Guys, he says, you know, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days, he will rise. Now, it says there in verse 32 in chapter 9, says, but they did not understand. They did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. So there's a lack of understanding, and there's, you know, like I said, there's our own agendas going on there. So there's a lot of things going on that's just causing them just not connect. They just can't see what Jesus is doing. And sometimes I feel like they didn't want to understand because it's hard. You know, it's hard to understand these things. You know, Jesus is doing this. You know, wonderful things, and people are hearing about the kingdom of God, and people are repenting and being healed and being raised from the dead, and being demons are cast out, all this, and they just didn't, they liked what they're seeing, but then he's saying, I'm going to die. But then they seem not to catch that end part, I'm going to rise again, because it's just something just wouldn't connect with. They just couldn't seem to connect with it because of misunderstanding, unbelief, their own agendas. And then they go there to chapter 10. You know, chapter 10, he's teaching more about these things. Oops, I got the wrong thing here. And, you know, he's teaching him the third time there in chapter 10 and verse 32. He's saying, you know, they were on their way up to Jerusalem. Jesus was leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and to the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, and he will be handed over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. At that point, they're just kind of go, oh. You know, it's the third time is really hitting them hard. You know, there's fear, there's amazement. They just can't quite connect. And just a little bit after that, what their response was. If you look at there, verse 35, James and John said, "Well, if the ship is going to sink, we're going to get what we can get out of it." And so they asked Jesus, "Can we sit at your? You know, when you go into your into the kingdom." And sit on your throne. Can we be on your right and on your left side and sit with you? See, there's always something, you know. They're just not connecting, you know, with what's going on. And just going, oh, man, you guys, wake up. You know, arise, you know, rise up, you know, and understand what Jesus has for them. And then if we go a little bit later on there in Mark 14, you see what happens. That they still don't clue in. See, because when they're in the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus is praying, and what happens there? Well, there's a lot of things happen. There's betrayal. One of his own betrays him and leads these people up, you know, to arrest him. And then you have violence. You have a guy taking a sword out and chopping off an ear. thinking that he can take them all on himself to protect Jesus. There's denial. That same person denies him three times. There's abandonment, people running away naked because somebody took off his cloak, you know, as he was running off. He was abandoned. He was left alone. You know, the disciples were just clueless people. Not something that we really should put up on a high pedestal at that time. And a lot of times, maybe we're not much better in how we react to Jesus and his word and what he has done in our lives. But you know what? There's good news. Because Peter did run to the empty tomb to see what was happening there. He didn't just go, oh, poo-poo it, and that's it, and just sit there and continue to be depressed. He ran. And so, you know, some other apostle did too. So what happened? Well, there is an awakening, right? You know, what is this awakening? What's happening with this awakening? Well, it's just it's amazing things. You know, I still remember, like I was talking before about this brain fog that I had for math. You know, it did not clear up in high school. I barely got out of high school, all right? And then I went to junior college. And the first time I had to take algebra, all right? And I was, same thing, it just wasn't connecting, you know? Numbers, you know, word problems. Whenever they came up word problems, I just shut down, all right? You know, Billy goes to to General Dollar and buys this, and I'm sitting there going, like that, all right? But then, you know, by God's grace, the next semester when I had to take algebra again because I failed it, you know, it's okay to fail, just that you keep trying, right? You know, just keep learning from it. You know, but I was not following Jesus at that time, too. I knew about God and all that, but he was not my Lord, all right? He was just somebody I just talked to once in a while, and just that was it. I had my own life, right? But the brain fog, all of a sudden, by God's grace, when I got into that next attempt at algebra, you know, I just started looking at numbers. I go, oh, I understand this. And my buddy, somebody sitting next to me, we're going, yeah, you know, we're understanding this. I actually passed. I forget my grade. It's probably a B, probably wasn't an A, because I'm still working through things. But, you know, God, by his grace, intervened and just blew that fog away. You know, he's done that throughout the Bible. He's doing out through the ages. It doesn't matter if you know him or not. Even like what Randy was reading about from the King Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of the Persian Empire, right? And he was the king of, you know, where he saw Daniel do amazing things. You know, he told him dreams, and you know, he saw this, and he had to give praise to God. He didn't know God. He didn't care about God. But he still had to praise him. You know, he did that a couple times anyways. And then King Darius after him, you know, when the kingdom, the Medes and Persia came in there and did the same thing. You know, God spoke through them, you know, because they had to give him glory. And that's what he can do. Just amazing things. So awakening happens. You know, Jesus appeared, if we go into that story there in Emmaus walk there in Luke 24, two of his disciples are walking between Jerusalem and Emmaus. They say it's 7 miles in my Bible, and they're walking, and then Jesus appears to them. You know, Jesus did not have to appear. After he arose, he could have just went up to heaven, be with his Father, but he had a mission yet. Right, he needed to go and he needed to appear to his disciples to reassure them. You know, he appeared to the people, two guys walking to Emmaus. You know, to show them, not just to show them who he is, but he was teaching them. He gave them a Bible study. Did you know that? He gave them Bible study here. You know, they had no clue. They're just saying, hey, you know, they're talking about the things that were happening. You know, they heard this. They say, including the women, you know, everything's happening. You know, things that they've seen. You know, all these little things are confusing and stuff to them. They're just kind of discussing these things, and Jesus came up to them, but. They could not recognize him. They were kept from recognizing him at that point. And then Jesus asked him, you know, what are you discussing together as you walk? I'm here there in verse 17 of chapter 24. And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? And Jesus says, you know, what things? He said, about Jesus of Nazareth. They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. See, they were still had their fixation on that, you know, that kingdom coming, a physical kingdom, to take out the Roman Empire, right? They're still fixated on that. That was their thing. And they still didn't know him as Lord and Savior, just a prophet. Powerful prophet. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of the women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. So a lot of things are going on. I'm sure, you know, they're going, oh, you know, do we dare to hope? Remember last week we were talking about hope against all hope, right? You know, it's just, you know, can you dare to hope that this is really true? You know, or do we just go, forget this. Fairy tales. Science fiction, like that Japanese young man said. Oh, it's just science fiction. It reads like science fiction. Is it true? Oh. And as they walked with Jesus, and Jesus says, he said to them, in verse 25, how foolish you are. Brain fog. Let me clear it away for you. Let me clear that brain fog away from you. Because you know what? Joe and I took her on our second date to a place called Strawberry Peak. And this is it. And sometimes Strawberry Peak can get clouded over and fogged up. So, but that day it was like that. I said, well, we'll go up anyways. We'll get up, because it's kind of a high mountain. I think it was 6,000 feet. And we get up there and we can look down on the fog, you know. Sometimes that's fun. You see, it's kind of like cotton balls, you know, from above, right? You know, so we went up there on top. Still foggy. Couldn't see a thing hardly. Just see one another, and we ate our sandwiches and then started down. We started down the trail. We were following the trail, and then we got to this one point, and it was still very foggy. I couldn't see any landmarks around me. You know, I've been hiking in these mountains for years and stuff. And so, you know, I was sitting there, and I looked at the trail, and all of a sudden, a brain fog hit me. I just said, oh, because there was a turn. You know, it's going, what is it doing? Why is this trail turning? We don't need to turn. We should just be going straight ahead. And a half an hour, we were looking for the trail. I don't know. It seems like for eternity, we're kind of going back and forth. I was running back and forth. I have no clue. And then I remember there was a bicyclist that was on our same trail. And then I picked up my tread mark. I went, I said, let's follow this. And just as we started following, I started going, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we were following more. And then all of a sudden, zoom, all this lifted up. This is what it looks like when it's clear. I tell you, it's like God's hand went like this. And the fog was lifted up amazingly. And we knew exactly where we are, and we happily walked to our car. So that was a praise. But going back, you know, so Jesus gave them a Bible study here. He says, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. See, he already taught them, I'm going to die, guys, and then I'm going to rise. 3 days later, I'm going to rise up. And look at all the prophets. Go back to the prophets. Don't you remember what they've been talking about? All the right, you have them right there on the scrolls. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them that what was said in all the scriptures concerning themselves. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And you know what happened? Then their eyes were open. Like my eyes were open to those numbers, those funny little equations and those little angles and geometry. You guys know what we're talking about. Things just started to click. The fog was lifted. We knew we were on a trail. All right? Just boom. The eyes were open. Didn't do it on my own. I didn't lift a fog. I didn't clear the brain fog away. God intervened. Jesus opened their eyes, and they recognized him. See, they didn't recognize him before, but they recognized him now. And he disappeared from their sight. See, probably because he didn't want them falling all over him. He had other things he was going to do. In fact, he went ahead of them. He was going to appear to the other disciples in just a little while. When he was, and they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" See, we can't, you know, we can read this Bible all we want, but we're only going to connect to God's heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have the Lord, the Spirit in us, we don't have a walking, true, living relationship with Christ, these words are nice to read, but they will not penetrate the heart, and the brain fog will not lift. The heart fog will not lift. It will always be there. It takes a living relationship with Christ to be able to have that. Hearts burning. Have you ever felt that? Like when you're in a Bible study or talking to a friend, you're praying together, you're talking about the Word of God together, and you just feel there's something like, something special happening inside. You know, it's not us. It's the Spirit moving us. And that's what it's about. He's connecting. He's awakening us. You know, calling us out of the tomb. You know, a lot of times we get ourselves in our own little tombs, and sitting in our own little comfortable tombs, of man caves, or whatever you want to call them. You know, we just don't want to get out. But God calls us out. Jesus calls our name. We are chosen, special. Eyes were open, minds were open in 45. People say, "Well, what's going on? Why is he doing this? Why would he go to all this trouble and do this?" Well, here, let me finish up this story here of 33. It says, they got up. So these two people, Cleopas and his other friend, they got up right after Jesus disappeared and returned at once to Jerusalem. They had to go at least 7 miles. That's a good little walk, right, Randy? I mean, that's, you know, they might have had to jog. I'm not sure if they jogged back then, though. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true! The Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon." Simon Peter, you know, Cephas. Or if they say in the other one, Cephas. They say Cephas. This is the word, probably how they pronounced it. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. See, all these things are happening. And then Jesus appears right then and there. "Peace be with you," he says later on there. He says, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And then he asks for something to eat. And he starts eating this fish in front of him. So he's just reassuring him. He says, "Guys, I'm alive." Oh, just before, a little bit before all this, they were kind of, "Do we dare to believe? Do we dare to hope that he really did rise from the dead?" And now they're going, "Oh, Jesus, we're touching you. We're seeing you. You came back for us to show us. Oh, he's alive. He's alive." Then you know what they did in verse 45? Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Remember, all that teaching, just kind of, they get a little bit, they get some things, but it's just not connecting to God's heart yet until the eyes were open, the awakening. I can see clearly now. You know that song, right? you're all clouded in, The rain is gone. Sun has come. Here it is. We were happily going back. We had some great strawberry dessert after that, right? After the strawberry peak, that was probably in June and stuff of that, where they have strawberries in California. Wonderful. But what's going on? So why does he awaken us? Why does he reassure us? Well, we go on a little bit further there. In 45, 46, it says there in chapter 24, it says, he told them, Jesus told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Did you catch that? You are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So there's still more. He breathed the Spirit upon them, but there's still more because they need it in them. They need it in their hearts so they can carry on the mission. To be, why did he raise this up? To be a witness to all the nations, to tell, to proclaim Christ. Not only did he live, and not only was he led to the cross and died on the cross for our sins, and through that crucifixion and been buried, but he rose up on the third day. Don't ever forget that. He rose again. He is alive now, and he's alive forever. And all those who believe will also receive the wonders of Christ abounding there. It's amazing, isn't it? Being witnesses, what a purpose he gives us. You know that song we just sang about Lazarus, about rising up. I have to go back to that just a second here. I just enjoy that song. I like the melody too. It says, part of that says, in the dark and all alone, growing comfortable, are you too scared to move and walk out of this tomb? Buried underneath the lies that you believed, unbelief, doubt, brain fog of all sorts, right? Safe and sound, stuck in the ground, too lost to be found. See, a lot of times I ask myself, what am I doing? I feel like I'm putting myself in a tomb. I'm bound up by whatever my cares are or my agenda or things like that. Why do I feel like I need to stay in my tomb? Because, listen to this, come on and rise up. Take a breath. You're alive now. See, Christ rose. He arose. He is risen. And when we follow Christ, when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he breathes a new life into us. New life. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us? Out from the grave like Lazarus? You remember that story? Powerful story. You're brand new. The power of death couldn't hold you. Can't you hear the voice of Jesus calling us? Out from the grave like Lazarus? Rise up, rise up, rise up. Out from the grave like Lazarus. See, I tell you, the rules, the man-made rules of the Pharisees and teachers of the law could not bind or chain up Jesus. That linen cloth they wrapped him up with, it couldn't cling to him. It couldn't bind him. That old tomb, that grave they put him in, couldn't hold him. The gravestone that they rolled in front couldn't shut him in. death could not overcome him. Satan could not defeat him. No, Jesus is risen. He's alive. See, you know what he did? Jesus, in his resurrection, he swallowed up death. He crushed the head of Satan. He's the sustainer of all things. He's the one that's given life to everyone. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is our Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our coming King. He is everything to us. In Jesus, we are more than conquerors. In Jesus, we have life everlasting. We are heirs to the promise of His kingdom. In Jesus, we are redeemed. We have hope. We have security. We have purpose. In Jesus, we are to be His witnesses to all nations. So you know what? Rise up. Get out of that tomb. If you feel like you're in a tomb right now, get out. Listen to His voice calling you out. Allow Him to empower you, to clear that fog away from you, to raise it up and get you out of that tomb, to get back out there and to be a witness to your families, to your friends, to your peoples in the community, to your classmates, co-workers, people around the world as we pray, as we proclaim Christ as He is and who we are in Him. You know, here it is. It's faith. You know, we're chosen. We didn't choose Jesus. You know, yesterday we even did it for, you know, our laser tag, picking teams, you know. When you're chosen, you feel honored. If you weren't chosen, you know, I know how that feels too. You get that, you know, it's 11 kids, you know, and you're playing b-ball and you're gonna 5-on-5. And so you know what happens. You pick the 10. There's one guy sitting there going like this. I guess I got to go home. Unless you want to just be somebody on the side going, yeah, 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 like that. Or hope somebody gets hurt and you get in there. To be chosen something special. And this is another message in itself. But we are chosen by Christ to be these witnesses. It is a special thing to be on His team. To be in His family with this message. Yes, do we dare to hope that it's true? Can we really hope against all the hope? All the people saying it's a fairy tale like Avatar. People, little beings putting their tails in the tree and getting charged up. Ooh, we like that stuff. But when it comes down and talk about the resurrection of Christ, people go, another time, let's talk about that. Or don't talk to me. Because it hits them. Because it really comes, you know, the fairy tales that you watch on TV and movies and all that, or reading books and stuff like that, that's what they are. They're fiction. It's fun. But when you come up to this resurrected Christ, oh, there's a decision, a serious decision. Do we dare to hope that He's risen from the dead? Do we dare to run to the tomb? Do we dare, just like the women, tell those stupid disciples, He's risen. They're saying, no, He isn't. Shut up. Do we dare to do that? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let's pray. Father God, again, thank You. We are slow learners. Thank You for lifting the brain fog. Thank You for lifting that fog away from our hearts so we can receive a our risen Lord into our hearts as Lord and Savior. And if anybody is in here who has not done that, Lord Father, we pray that you'll speak to their hearts. They can even come up, we can pray for them, or they can just go off in their own time and come before you. And just call upon your name. Ask for your forgiveness and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, there's so many more that have to have that fog lifted away from their hearts. Lord, help us be ever persevering to pray for them and to continue to love them and forgive them as you have done for us. And Lord, yes, we dare to believe. We dare to believe in the risen Lord who empowers us day after day of those who believe in you, all of us who walk in your paths. May we do this empowered by your Spirit, being witnesses, to bring honor to your name, to make your name known, to pray your kingdom come and your will be done right here, right now. Thank you, Father, for your great love for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all those people say, Amen. Amen.